Bearing Away Live in Japan with Robert Johnson and Mark Rogers. Welcome to Bearing Away Live. This is the live version, i.e. audio or video, of my blog, bearingaway.co.uk. Now I have to say, I'm a pretty rubbish blogger. I think the last time I actually wrote something was over a year ago. And every time I start off on a trip to somewhere, I say I'm going to do more. I'm going to write, I'm going to record sounds, and I'm going to do video. And I very rarely do any of them. I think partly it's that being away is meant to take one away from the normality of life, from having to do things and having to record audio or write a blog slightly falls into that gap. And of an evening, after having a few drinks and a nice meal, the last thing one really wants to do is to fiddle around with one's phone and upload some audio recorded earlier on in the day. So I begin this series of recordings without a promise. I'm not promising to record lots. I'm not promising to write lots. But if I do, then I hope that you find it enjoyable. So, as the theme music at the beginning of this piece suggests, I'm going somewhere a little bit more exotic on this occasion. Previously, with my good friend Mark Rogers, I've been to places like Bordeaux and Munich and Sarajevo, and last year to Madrid and Strasbourg, all places quite close to home. But on this occasion we're heading a little bit further afield and for a little bit longer than we usually would. I can't remember when I first became aware of Japan, either as a place or as an idea. I suppose to some degree, it's around us all the time. In the cars that people drive, in the technology they use, and increasingly also in the food that people eat on an everyday basis. I think my first real memory of being aware of what Japan might be like and it as a place I might want to visit was when Blue Peter, the children's television programme, went there in the 90s. I remember them staying in a capsule hotel, one of these places that businessmen fall into after missing their last train home. I remember them too going on the Shinkansen, the bullet train. I remember reading about the bullet train, seeing a picture of it, so sleek, so modern, in a children's geography book that I had as a child, and wondering, I suppose, whether I would ever see it. So many of those places in that book seem so far away, so unlikely that I would ever see them. And yet, in just 3 weeks' time, Mark Rogers and I will be flying around 11 hours east to Japan. We're going to be flying into Fukuoka. It's at the very northern end of Kyushu, the southern main island of Japan. Now, I should apologise up front for my pronunciation. I haven't the faintest clue, frankly, how you pronounce some of these places, and it's probably not how I'm pronouncing them. But Kyushu, however it is the place that we are beginning the trip. So we'll be having a night in Fukuoka before picking up our Japan Rail passes. We've already ordered them. And these will allow us to travel on the Japan Railways network for free across the 2 weeks that we're there. And that means, probably, that after 2 weeks, I will be totally sick of the Shinkansen. But our first journey on it will be on the Saturday after we arrive, travelling from Fukuoka to Kagoshima. Kagoshima is known as the Naples of Japan. Now, I've never quite understood why everywhere has to be compared to somewhere in Europe, but on this occasion I can understand why, in that, much like Naples, the city looks across a bay at a rather active volcano on the other side, probably quite a bit more active than Mount Vesuvius. After 2 nights there, we're going to be heading up to somewhere that is instantly recognisable to people around the world. Hiroshima. Famous, of course, for being the first place that had the misfortune to have an atomic bomb dropped on it. But it's also well known in Japan for its cuisine and also for its general culture and just being a pleasant place to be. We've got 3 nights there before we carry on to what could well be the highlight of the trip. That is Kyoto. Kyoto, known for being the place to go for cherry blossom. And we're going there pretty much dead in the middle of cherry blossom season. Really looking forward to Kyoto. I'm told that you can become quite sick of temples, but even if one's sick of temples, one can never be sick of the varied food in Japan. And I think that that is going to be one of our main occupations as we travel around the country. After Kyoto, we're going to be going to a place called Takayama. Is it Takayama? I think it might be. Please forgive me again if I've pronounced it wrong or even got the wrong place. But there we're going to be staying in a ryokan. It's a traditional Japanese inn where you sleep on futons on the floor and enjoy a multi-course home-cooked meal. This city is also well known for the quality of its local beef, Hida beef, I think it's called, and hopefully we'll be sampling some of that, along with plenty of sake. After that, we're on to Tokyo. Deliberately decided not to start the holiday in Tokyo. It's meant to be an incredibly difficult city to get to grips with, and I thought that having spent a week already travelling in the country, we might be prepared a little bit for all that Tokyo could throw at us. We're going to be there for 4 nights, plenty of time to explore the city, and perhaps to travel out a little bit, maybe to try and catch a glimpse of Mount Fuji. And from there, sadly, it'll be on to the Narita Airport, where we've got a hotel for the night before flying home via Seoul back to London Heathrow. And that's the trip. That's how it's all planned out. Listen on, watch on, read on to see how it all pans out. Thanks for listening. Actually, before I go, I really must say a huge thank you to my friends Paul Hopkins and Claire Randall, who really kindly recorded the theme music that you heard at the beginning of this recording. It's really good of them to do it for me. Let's remind ourselves of what it sounds like. Thanks again for listening.